بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah Almighty and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters, I first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the upcoming month, the great month of Ramadan. And I ask Allah Almighty to give us the strength to fulfill the rites of that month. And the rites of that month is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He deserve, the way He should be worshipped. Tonight, inshallah, after we spoke about last week the benefits of fasting and the rewards and the virtues of fasting and the month of Ramadan, inshallah, tonight we should go into details on the rulings and the conditions of fasting, fiqh al-siyam, the Islamic rulings and laws on fasting, the jurisprudence on fasting. The month of Ramadan, it starts with the new moon. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, صوموا لرؤيته وأفطروا لرؤيته فإن غم عليكم فأكملوا عدة شعبان 30 يوما. Fast according to sighting the moon. Break your fast according to sighting the moon. And if it's cloudy that you can't see the moon, then complete the month of Sha'ban, which is the month before Ramadan, 30 days. Usually in a lunar year, the month is either 28 days, which is very rare, 29 days, which is most of the times, and 30 days, which is sometimes. Most of the times, the month is 29 days. And I explained that before, because it starts with a new moon, and then keeps on getting bigger and bigger until it becomes a full moon. This procedure from no moon to full moon takes from 14 days to 15 days. And then it starts to reduce from a full moon to no moon. This procedure once again takes 14 to 15 days. So if it takes 14 days to become a full moon, and then from a full moon to no moon, 14 days to 28 days. If it takes 14 days, full moon, and then 15 days to no moon, that's 29 days. If it takes 15 by 15, that's 30 days. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, fasting according to sighting the moon. Sighting the moon here, of course, the Prophet is talking about his time. There never used to be microscopes. Sighting it with the normal eyesight. Now, the controversial issue ever, sometimes people fasting a day before, a day after, none of them disagree over should we fast over the new moon or shouldn't we. They all agree and no disagreement over that they all should fast in accordance to the new moon, because the new moon is the new month. But the thing is, where the disagreement comes at this time and era, especially at this 10th century, is some scholars say sighting the moon is only sighting the moon with the normal natural eye. Others say sighting the moon is also accepted through the microscope. And when you sight the moon through the microscope, you are watching the moon 20 hours or 12 to 20 hours before, you could see it with the normal eye. So that's where the disagreement falls. So some scholars say, no, we're only going according to watching or sighting the moon with the normal eye. If we see it, we see it. If we don't see it with the normal eye, even if we see it through the microscope or the latest technology, we do not go ahead with the new month. Others say, no, seeing the moon through, or the new moon through the microscope, is seeing the moon with a natural eye. And that's where the disagreement falls. And as I said, when you see the microscope gives you the ability to watch, to see the moon or sight the moon 12 hours or 20 hours before you see it with the eye. That makes a difference. That's a full day. So that's where the disagreement falls down. Now, most of the scholars, I'm not going to say the majority, but most of the scholars go with the recent technology. The whole idea is the new moon being born, and if it's born, you could see it on microscope, you go ahead with it. Other scholars are strict, saying we only go ahead with sighting the moon with the eye. Now, with the natural eye, if it's cloudy, you can't see nothing. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَتِمُّ عِدَّةَ شَعْبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا. If it's cloudy, which does not allow you to sight the moon, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, complete the month of Sha'ban 30 days. So on the 29th day, or the 29th night, if you don't see the moon, the new moon, because it's cloudy, continue for 30 days. And usually the new moon could be sighted Maghrib. That's the best time you could sight the moon. The best time to sight the new moon is on Maghrib, the night before. Now, the way the Islamic day works, the night is before the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, He mentions the night, then He mentions the day. So tonight is Friday night. Tomorrow day is Friday day. Tomorrow after Maghrib is Saturday night. That's how it works. So now we are on which day? We are on Friday. Okay? This doesn't mean, wallahi, this is opposite. Wallahi, this is upside down. Who told you that the day should be under? Just because you're used to the days before the night doesn't mean if the people before us used to take the night before the day means you are right or they're wrong. It's customs. This all goes back to customs. Okay? Get us the proof that the day starts before the night. There's no proof to it. Okay? Get us the proof that the night starts before the day. There's no proof to it. Only the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem mentions the night before the day, so it became more of a custom of the Arabs. Not a religious thing. So Islam doesn't tell you the day, and you have to be a firm believer of it. It's more of a custom thing that because the Arabs used to take the night as the beginning of the day, and then the day as the second part of the day. Now, so صوموا لرؤيته وافطروا لرؤيته فإن غم عليكم فأكمل عدة شعبان 30 يوم. That's one topic. The other topic is, okay, sighting the moon in one place, does it apply on all, if it's sighting the moon in one city or country, does it apply on the rest of the world? That's another controversial topic, where you find disagreement among the scholars, and that's what makes the disagreement among the community, with some fast the day before the others. Okay? According to Imam Shafi'i, every country should sight its own moon. So if you see the moon in Australia, it does not apply in Indonesia, or doesn't apply in Saudi Arabia. The rest of the scholars saying, if the moon is sighted in one place, it's applied on the rest of the countries. And that's why some people say, in Saudi are they fasting? So that why are these people not fasting according to Saudi or Lebanon? Because they go according to the madhab, or according to the saying of the scholars, that I fast according to the country. If my country sights the moon, I go with it. If not, kaza. Now, all this, the reason I'm mentioning this, not because of you to involve yourself into it. I don't even involve myself into it. Okay? But just to give you the fair idea that when you hear a different group of brothers, they do fast the next day, don't accuse them of anything else, saying these people are this or these people are that. These people have their way of view of looking at things according to the Quran and Sunnah. They go with that view and others go with another view. Simple and easy as that. And that's why at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's been narrated that Sham fasted on one day and Mecca fasted on a day before. And because of that hadith, Imam Shafi'i said, every country sights its own moon. But now, the recent technology, what makes more sense is, if the moon is sorted at one place, it's the rest of the countries. And at the same time, the world is big. So sometimes, while the moon is getting born, it's born and it's going through the atmosphere or the horizon of Australia, but it's too small to be sighted. Within those few hours that's going past Saudi and the other countries like United States, with 16 hours between us and them, it will be more older that could be sighted with the eye. So that's where things happen sometimes. Now, this is in regards of the month of the Ramadan. And of course, the month after it, which is Shawwal, the end of the month of Ramadan, also we end the month of Ramadan by sighting the new moon of the second month, or the next month after Ramadan, in the next month of, after the month of Ramadan. Now, fasting, of course, is an obligation of every Muslim. Whoever denies such a thing called fasting in Islam had denied an important pillar in Islam. And whoever denies an important pillar in Islam, this is a dangerous part of, this is a dangerous part that could lead people to kufr. Anyone that denies a prayer, or denies fasting, or denies zakat, then this person is throwing himself into something called kufr, taking himself out of Islam. There's no such thing called, I'm 99% a believer. It's either you're 100% a believer, or you're nothing. That's how it works with the deen. You either believe 100% or nothing. So you can't say, wallah, I believe in this and I believe in that, but I do not believe that, wallahi, we should pay zakat. Just saying that word will take you and your whole deeds that you've been doing for the last few years or decades out of Islam. So it's a dangerous thing. It's either you believe 100% or you're out. That's how it works with our religion. Now, fasting is obligatory on every mature, sane, Muslim, male or female. So maturity plays a role. Okay, Allah does not judge anyone under the age of puberty or maturity. If you want to call it maturity, when I'm talking about the age of puberty, is when a male or female, yani before the age of 15, they start exiting a sperm or a semen, or they reach the age of 15 even if they didn't see anything. So once they reach the age of 15, when I'm talking 15 years old, I'm talking about 15 years lunar year. That means according to our years, 14 years and a half. Once a male or a female reaches that 14 years and a half, that I consider to be mature, whether they've seen something or experienced something or not. So they are at the age of maturity or puberty, and they are judged now. They are accounted for everything they do. Of course, before that, it's recommended to teach and encourage and train the children on fasting and praying and so on. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, order them to pray at the age of 7 and hit them at the age of 10. Hit them. What does hit them mean? Yani a touch like this. A slap that doesn't even harm. Not a punch. Not a, you know, baseball bat on the head. Wallah, Allah told me this and I have to implement Allah's orders. Wal-iyadu billah. The Prophet forbade that. Touch. Just a touch. A touch that you indicate that you're angry. Yani, make them get scared from that touch. Not because they're scared of that touch. They are scared from what's behind that touch, which is you being angry from them. So hit them at the age of 10, yani hit them, yani touch them, show them that you're angry at the age of 10, and then at the age of 15, they are responsible. The age of 15, they are responsible. So they have to be mature at puberty, or the age of puberty. Before that, they should be trained. Even if they're young, and like now, for example, the day is 16 hours sometimes, get them, if they're in that age, get them, train them to fast at least half a day. Okay, then the next year, three quarters of the day. And then, until they get used to it. But, you know, don't give them that freedom, or don't give them that, you know, spoil that, you know, they could fast whenever they want. No, get them on the habit. Because at that age, from the age of 7 to the age of 15, that's when the character and the mind of the children are set. Whatever they're used to on those days, from whatever they get used to in those years, from 7 to 15 is whatever they're going to get used to the day they die. So if a girl gets used to wearing the hijab from the age of 7, 8, 9, even if she goes corrupt as far as she goes, it will be very hard for her to take off the hijab. Why? It's became a part of her character. Became part of her character. Kids get used to praying from that age. No matter what they do in the future, they get used to it. So the age of 7 to the age of 15 or 14 is the age where you really build the character of people. Now, sane. Of course, someone's got to be all there. Not he's lost or he's insane. He's crazy. Not aware what's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge someone that's insane. And the third thing is, of course, being a Muslim is an important thing. Allah does not accept the actions or the deeds of non-believers. The non-believers do not get recorded a hasana. Whatever they do good in this world, Allah will give them the rewards for it in this world, but they do not get hasanat for them in the hereafter. And of course, a male and female bath applies on them. With the females, of course, they have to be clean from their menstruation or the bleeding cycle or the bleeding cycle after birth. So a woman that's during her menstruation or during her bleeding cycle, whether her natural bleeding cycle or after her birth, which we call nifas, she can't fast and she's got to make it up. So these type of people. Okay, what are the excuses that someone can use for them not to fast? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not ask from a soul what it can't do, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask from anyone what they're not capable of. Sickness, illness, if someone is ill or sick, whether it's a permanent illness or a temporary illness. Permanent illness, someone's got, for example, diabetes. This person, يعني خلاص, this illness is stuck with him for the rest of his life unless Allah Azza wa Jalla wants. Some people are temporarily sick, they just get some, they just get a sickness through their life for a few days, few months, whatever it is. If that illness, if you fast and it's gonna increase from that illness, or it's gonna make it hard on you, then you don't have to fast. And if it's gonna really make things worse, then if you fast, it becomes wrong. Even if a man reached the state of haram. If you're going to fast, and by you fasting is going to lead to your death, then it becomes haram. Do not throw yourself into what destroys your life. So any kind of illness that could increase from the illness or make things worse, you are allowed to break it fast. Traveling of a distance of over 81 kilometers outside the city borders. Someone who is traveling, they could break the fast. Okay? Someone who's traveling, they could break the fast. Why? Because traveling, as Umar ibn Khattab said, قِطْعَةٌ مِنْ عَذَابٍ, is a portion of punishment. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once in a travel, and he ordered the companions to drink because he saw the companions going through hardships. So most of the companions drank and break the fast, except few thought that, you know, we'll get closer to Allah by going through more hard trips. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are those ones who disobey, there are those ones who disobey, there are those ones who disobey. So yani, our religion is easy, it's not hard, and it's very understanding, it's not complicated. If you think there's going to be a hardship, if you are traveling and you want to fast and it's not going to increase from your hardships in traveling, then you can fast. But if you think it's going to be a hardship, you could break your fast and make it up. Now, and of course, because of an old age, elderly people, they can't fast. They've got a weak body, physically weak, and they can't fast. Then they don't have to fast. The elderly people who can't fast, of course, they're only going to get older, so they're never going to get the chance to fast. And those ones who have permanent sickness or illness, and no matter what happens, after 1 or 2 years, they're still going to have the same illness, they don't have to fast, but they must compensate for every day they didn't fast, a donation. This donation is equivalent to a kilogram of the most food that gets cooked in this country, or the most stock that gets sold in the country, which is a kilo of wheat or a kilo of barley or a kilo of dates like in Arab countries and so on, which is equivalent to about $7. So those elderly people who can't fast and they're never going to get the chance to fast, and those ill people or they've got illness and they can't fast and they will never get the chance to fast, they have to compensate for every day they don't fast, $7. And it's got to be given out to the poor people. If someone doesn't have that money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask from a soul what it can't do. So these are the excuses that you are allowed to break your fast. Now, during the month of Ramadan, what are the conditions of fasting? The conditions of fasting are simply two conditions. Condition number one, the intention. Condition number two is to keep away and abstain away from all the things that break your fast. Intention, condition number one. Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that all the deeds are according to the intention. Whatever you intend, Allah will reward you according to your intentions. You intend to do that, Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for your intentions. You intend to do that for Allah's sake, Allah will reward you for it. You intend to do that for Fulan's sake or Fulana's sake, go and get your rewards from Fulan or Fulana. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. All the deeds are according to the intentions. And what differentiates and distinguishes the natural actions of mankind and the worships is the intentions. Hala, some of us might wake up early in the morning, then eat and drink till after sunset. Okay? Is that considered to be fasting? No, because probably didn't have the chance to eat or drink. Maybe it doesn't feel like eating or drinking. What's the difference between this person that did not eat and drink from all day, from sunrise to sunset, and the difference between that person that's fasting? The difference is that a person that was fasting, he had the intentions to fast for Allah's sake. That person that wake up in the morning and didn't get the chance to eat or drink because of his time zone, he didn't have the intention. So intention differentiates between our natural actions in this world and our worships. Same thing, the wudu. People, non-Muslims, wake up in the morning, wash their face, wash their arms, even have a shower. What's the difference between that shower, that washing of the face, and the washing of the wudu? This person had the intention behind that wudu is to make ibadah, and this person, his intentions for the sake of just naturally wake up and wash his face. So intention differentiates between the ibadah and the nature, or the natural actions. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ لَمْ يُبَيِّتُ الصِّيَامَ قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا صِيَامَ لَهُ. Okay, this intention must be intended for the fard. The fard, the obligatory fasting, the intention must be before fajr, before dawn. The obligatory fasting, the intention must be done before fajr. How long before fajr? Any time. So now, is now before fajr? Now is before fajr. So I could make an intention now, even 6 hours for fajr. Any time before fajr. Your intention, you could have the intention you could have the intention of fasting from maghrib all the way till fajr. You must have the intention that by tomorrow, inshallah, when I wake up, I want to wake up fasting from dawn all the way to sunset. This is the intention. And in Ramadan, you must have the intention that I want to fast the month of Ramadan. So two important things with the intentions. It must be before Fajr, and it must be specified for month of Ramadan. Okay. Some scholars say that you must renew your intention for every single night of Ramadan. Others, which that's what I recommend, others say one intention for the month of Ramadan is enough. So at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, I intend from now to the next 30 days or 29 days of the month of Ramadan, I intend to fast every single day. Khalas. Like this, you secured yourself, then you don't have to all the time remind yourself about the intention. Have the intention. If you fast 10 days, for example, and then something happened, and then you had to break your fast, then you have to renew the intention for the next days, or the leftover days that's in the month of Ramadan. So, one intention, that Ya Allah, I intend to fast the next few days, or the next 30 days, 29 days of the month of Ramadan, for your sake, and for the sake of implementing a pillar of Islam. So two things, before Fajr and a one set intention for the next month of the month of Ramadan. Now, for the nafil, for the non-obligatory fasting, you have all the way till Dhuhr. For the fard fasting, you must intend before Fajr. For the non-obligatory fasting, if nafil, a sunnah fasting like Mondays and Thursdays and so on, your intention could have all the way till Dhuhr. But when I say you have all the way till Dhuhr, doesn't mean, well, you could eat all the way till Dhuhr. Okay? That's if you wake up, you haven't drank, you haven't eaten, and then you confuse, should I make a fast, should I not fast? And then you've got all the way to make a decision till Dhuhr. Let's put it a bit. You have all the way to make a decision till Dhuhr. Okay? But if you ate or drank, khalas, you can't. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once walked into Aisha's house and he said, do you have any food? So she said, no, a Prophet of Allah. So I said, then I'm fasting. And that was before Dhuhr. So obviously the Prophet didn't eat or drink before that. So with the Sunnah, you have all the way to Dhuhr. With the Fard, you have all the way to Fajr. And as I said, before Fajr could be any time. Doesn't have to be the 10 minutes before Fajr. Could be the 10 hours before Fajr. From Maghrib all the way to Fajr. Okay, that's the first condition. The second condition is to keep away from all the things that break your fasting. Which is number one thing, eating and drinking. Eating and drinking. Even if it's so minor. Eating, anything that falls on it called eating or drinking, Okay, even if it's not even food. Someone wants to chew sand, for example. Hey, واحد lost. Yeah, there's a woman in Ukraine, she eats a kilo of sand every day. There's people like that. Okay, to her, that's food. There's some people eat sand, mud. And wallah, she finds it delicious, Kaman. Okay, some people find mud and sand food. To me and you, it's not food, but to them. Okay, anything that you eat or drink or falls on the word of eating or drinking, okay, breaks your fast. So eating and drinking deliberately. Of course, if someone eats or drinks by mistake, for example, especially the first few days of Ramadan, some people used to, when they wake up before they open the eyes, they open the fridge. Okay, and then they start eating. Someone, he's not used to it, he got up, he's had a long sleep, and he's not used to fasting, and opened the fridge, started to drink, eat, hatta, or the food came out of his nose. And then he remembered, I'm supposed to be fasting. Okay, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man nasi wa huwa sha'iman fa akala wa shariba wa shariba." Whoever eats or drinks while they're fasting and they forgot, whoever eats or drinks when they forgot while they're fasting, then let them complete their fasting. Allah is the one that fed them and gave them water. Yani khalas, Allah gave you that gift taker. But in wallahi, let me make myself forget or kaza. Allah is watching you. You're here fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not here fasting for anyone else. So if you forget, okay, and you ate or drank, you've got food in your mouth and you remembered. You've got food in your mouth and you remembered that you're fasting. Spit that food out. Spit it out. Don't swallow it. Spit it out and goggle your mouth. Okay. This ruling also applies for the sunnah, because a lot of people ask, okay, I was fasting Mondays or Thursdays, nafil, and I ate or drank by mistake. Does that ruling apply? Yes, it does apply. Now, the other thing is, vomiting deliberately. Someone vomiting deliberately. When you're vomiting with someone forcing yourself, putting pressure on his stomach to vomit. Some people put their fingers in their mouth to vomit. Anything that makes you vomit, that you deliberately vomit, breaks your fast. If you vomit because you had to vomit, you're sick, you're ill, your stomach didn't accept, then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ذرعه القيء وصام فليس عليه قضاء ونستقاء فليقضي. Whoever vomits and they couldn't grab themselves because they had to vomit, then let them complete their fasting. And whoever vomits, makes themselves to vomit or forces themselves to vomit, then they had broken their fast. Now, the other thing is sexual intercourse, not sexual contact. Sexual intercourse. Sexual intercourse breaks the fast. That's one thing. And the other thing is sexual contact that made an exert of a sperm or ejaculation. Okay, these two break your fast. But sexual contact, touching, kissing, okay, even if you felt a bit of desire, nothing over that, it does not break your fast, but it's disliked. It's makruh. It's makruh. And if someone to touch, kiss his wife and so on, if it's gonna get his shahwa and it's gonna get his desires moving and so on, it's better to keep away from it. And that's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss her while he was fasting, and then she said, who could grab himself and his desires the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to? Now, and the other thing is that breaks the fast, of course, as we said, for the females, bleeding, if she fasted half of the day, then she saw blood and so on, she breaks her fast. Ikhwani, sorry for these words, but la haya of din, I have to express sometimes things for the sake of knowledge, nothing else. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Laysa al-mu'min bil-fahish al-badhi'." The believers don't speak rudely and foolishly. If someone wants to start talking and mention these words for the sake of laughing at them, it becomes haram. Okay, but for the sake of education, then you have to mention what you have to mention. And the last thing is, of course, someone became insane or fainted, or someone became insane and or fainted the whole day. The whole day he was fainted. Okay, from dawn all the way till sunset. Okay, their fasting is not accepted, or someone became insane, lost his mind. Okay, by anything, you know, lost his mind. Someone probably get that as an illness. Something happened to him during the day. Lost his mind. He's no longer sane anymore. Breaks his fast. Beside those things, beside what I mentioned, does not break your fast. Like, for example, some people say E drops or I drops. Does not break your fast. Okay. For example, someone saying swallowing your saliva. Even if you swallow your saliva and some people gather a lot of saliva in their mouth, and swallow it. It does not break your fast. Injections. Injections do not break your fast. Only an injection that gives you energy. Some injections like you're eating. Some injections, some needles you get, it gives you food. It's like you ate. You don't eat anymore. Those injections break your fast. Any other injection, like for example, blood injection, medicine, so on, that does not break your fast. Brushing of the teeth. Brushing of the teeth, does it break my fast? If you guarantee that nothing will go past the throat, does not break your fast. If you can't guarantee, then keep away from it. And that's what I recommend everyone, to keep away from it, except if you want to do it before Fajr or after Maghrib. You're not forced. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the change briefing of the change breath of the one that fasts, that smell is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla than the perfume of musk. And then the perfume of musk. And of course, you must stop while the Mu'adhan says, Allahu Akbar, stop. Okay? Some scholars say at the end of the Adhan, be on the safe side. Once the Mu'adhan says, Allahu Akbar, stop eating. And even if you have something in your mouth, I do recommend you take it out. I do recommend just to be on the safe side. Okay, can I eat 1 minute before Adhan? 1 minute before Adhan? 2 minutes? You can eat. The whole idea is you fast at the beginning of Adhan al-Fajr and you end at the beginning of Adhan al-Maghrib. Okay, but just to be on the safe side, because the calendars are not 100% accurate. Sometimes they just, yani for example, Fajr is 4:55, maybe it's 4:53, but they add 2 extra minutes just to be on the safe side. That's why I recommend you to stop eating by 5 minutes. Be on the safe side. Only if you're forced, drink. But try and all the time, before 5-10 minutes, keep away from eating or drinking, because these calendars are not 100% accurate. They are 80% or 90% accurate. And to get 100% calendar accurate is hard too. So keep away from it. And the sunnah is, now inshallah we're going to speak about some recommended things in fasting. It's recommended that you have the pre-dawn meal, suhoor. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَزَالُ أُمَّتِ بِخَيْرِ مَعَجَّلُ الْإِفْطَارَ وَأَخَرُ الصُّحُورِ. It's recommended to have the pre-dawn meal and make it the last thing just before Fajr, and to make iftar at the beginning of the Adhan. So don't think, wallahi, I'm a good believer, I'm going to eat 1 hour after Maghrib, just to show Allah, I'm willing to sacrifice. No, wallahi, you're not getting anywhere with that intention. Okay, it's recommended that once the Adhan is called for Fajr, you stop eating, and when the Adhan is called for Maghrib, you start eating. Then delay, and then make it early. Then delay your iftar, and then it's recommended to make a suhoor last thing. And it's sunnah, of course, when you break your fast, to break your fast on dates or water, just to get the stomach warmed up. Especially us Arabs, we have, mashallah, our food comes in, it's like a cement on the stomach. Get your stomach used to it. Eat 3 dates, 1 date, or 3 dates, or 5 dates, few zips of water, and then pray your Maghrib. Heck, your stomach now is getting ready, is warmed up to eat for food. And that's the sunnah, of course. And that's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تَصَحَّرُوا وَلَوْ بِجُرْعَةٍ مِّن مَّاءٍ, have suhoor, even if it's a cup of water. So it doesn't have to be a meal, but have a cup of water, so you could have that strength and energy for the rest of the day and fasting. Now, the other thing is, of course, the whole idea of the month of Ramadan is to exercise yourself into the worship and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you must keep away from the foolish talk, and you must keep away from the haram talk, anything that disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal by saying, so keep away from it. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not leave the foolish talk while they were fasting, then there's no need for them to fast to Allah. There is no need for them to fast to Allah. And whoever swears or says something wrong in the month of Ramadan, it doesn't mean they break the fast, it doesn't mean they have to make up that day, but they've lost on the whole rewards of that day. So that day, okay, you're no longer asked in front of Allah about that day, but at the same time, you no longer have any hasanat for that day. So just, a tick is being ticked on your roll call of you, or on your schedule of you fasting that day, but you do not get any rewards. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if someone confronts you to fast, just say, inni saam, I'm fasting. Just leave me alone, I'm fasting. If someone keeps on, you know, provokes you to do haram, or you see something, you know, that really gets you upset and angry, just say, inni sa'im, inni sa'im. Remind yourself that you are fasting. Naam, remind yourself you are fasting. So anything foolish, watching foolish things, saying foolish things, hearing foolish things, playing foolish things, like for example, people can't wait for the month of Ramadan so they could sit down and play cards. MashaAllah ala al-worship. They look forward. Wallah, shoo, wallah, Ramadan, ahla min ma fi. You know, on ART, you watch, you know, all these programs and play cards. It's like, you know, the month of Ramadan, a month of entertainment and fun. Wal'iyadu billah. Some people don't understand the meaning of Ramadan. Time. The other thing that's recommended, which is having a shower if you had a sexual contact with your wife and you have to have a ghusl, or someone wake up and they need to have ghusl, it's sunnah to have your shower before fajr. But if someone, had to do before fajr and then they had to have a shower, and they wake up after fajr, they wake up after the adhan of fajr and they didn't have a shower, could they fast? Yeah, they continue fasting. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that. He had shower after adhan of fajr and he continued his fasting. Also to keep away from anything that, yani, if he has got from hijama or fast, like for example, some people go and they have to go to hospital and take blood out. If you could keep away from that, better, because it makes you weak and then might lead you into breaking your fast. But it's disliked. And it's also recommended that when you break your fast, you make the dua, Allahumma laka sumtu ala rizqaka aftart, dhahaba al-dhamma wabtallat al-urq, wathabata al-ajru insha'Allah. This is the dua, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also, Allah does not reject the dua of the one that's fasting, especially before Maghrib. Before Maghrib, while you're sitting down waiting for the adhan to be called so you could break your fast, is a time where Allah does not reject the dua. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِصَامِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدِ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ وَفَرْحَةٌ حِينَ يَفْطِرِ. And for the one that fasts, he's got two happy moments. One happy moment when he meets Allah. Another happy moment is when he breaks his fasting, or when he breaks his fast. It's also recommended that you feed other people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man fattara sa'iman kana lahu mithlu ajrihi, ghayra annahu la yanqusu min ajri sa'imi shay'a." If you feed a person who was fasting, you give him water, even if just a cup of water, you get the rewards of him being fasting. That's why at the month of Ramadan, people like to invite other people to their house. Some people like to do it for show off. Let them get their rewards from being show off. And other people like to do for Allah's sake. Allah will give them the rewards of every person that's been fasting. And also it's recommended to increase from the sadaqah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَةِ صَدَقَةٌ فِي رَمَضَانِ. The best of sadaqah, donation, is the month of Ramadan. And also to read the Qur'an al-Kareem. It's sunnah to read the Qur'an al-Kareem. And to increase from reciting the Qur'an al-Kareem, it's the month of the Qur'an. It's the month of the Quran al-Kareem. And also, last thing inshaAllah, Zakat al-Fitr, it's a donation that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordained on all believing Muslim males and females, young and old, rich and poor, for them to pay is an amount of, as I said, 1 kilogram of wheat or barley. It's equivalent to about $6, $8 every year. Changes, depends on the prices of their stock. It's an obligation on every Muslim, male, female, young, old, poor and rich, to pay the amount that must be given to the poor, and it must be given before Eid. So you've got from the day of Ramadan all the way to the day of Eid, you must give out. So if I'm a family man with a wife and a kid, I must pay for myself, for my wife and for my kid. That's 7 by 7 by 7. That's $21. If I have a mother and a father who are poor, I pay for them. So this is Zakat al-Fitr. And of course, you find most of the mosques collect that. So keep in mind Zakat al-Fitr. And of course, for every day that you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever breaks his fast deliberately in the month of Ramadan, if he fasts the whole year or fasts his whole life, he will never make up for that day. Yani, breaking a day of a month of Ramadan is like losing a lot of rewards. If someone does break the day of Ramadan, because deliberately or not deliberately, if it's deliberately, then he's sinned. If it's not deliberately, then he's not sinned. He's just got to make up the month of Ramadan. If it's deliberately, then he's got to make up the month of Ramadan straight after the month of Ramadan, straight after the day of Eid. And if it's non-deliberately, then he's got all the way from Ramadan to the next Ramadan to make up those days. So for example, someone was sick in the month of Ramadan, had to break his fasting, or was traveling. A woman had a bleeding cycle, she had to break her fasting. Then they'll make it up all the way after the month of Ramadan, and they've got all the way to the next Ramadan to make it up. They've got the next Ramadan to make it up. Speaking about the females also, a female who is pregnant, okay, some females who are pregnant, they fear harm on themselves, or they fear harm on the child, or the embryo they've got, the fetus they've got, or some breastfeeding women, they fear that on themselves, or the fear that there's no milk for the child and the child will be affected. They could break their fast and they have to make up their fasting after the month of Ramadan. Including over that, if she break her fast because she fears on the child, not on herself, then she's got to pay for every dollar a mud, which is equivalent to about $5. Okay, a mud of ta'am for every day over that. If she break her fast because she fears on herself, or she fears on herself and the child, then she does not have to pay. She's got to make it up. So for the breastfeeding woman or the pregnant woman, they must make up the day after the month of Ramadan. Not pay. A lot of women think, well, it's paying, khalas, it's enough. Nothing. You do not pay. The only those ones who pay to compensate the days of Ramadan are those ones who are ill, permanent illness, or those ones who are old and they're just getting older, they can't fast. So this is with the month of Ramadan. I hope inshallah I covered what I can cover from the month of Ramadan. And of course, after the month of Ramadan, it's sunnah to fast 6 days from Shawwal. Shawwal is the next month after the month of Ramadan. It's haram to fast on the day of Eid. 6 days after the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan completes another 6 days after the month of Ramadan in Shawwal. It's like he had fasted the whole year. Why? Because for every hasanah, you get 10 hasanat. So for every day, it's like 10 days. 30 days of the month of Ramadan by 10, that's 300. Another 6 days in month of Shawwal, 10, that's 60, 360, that's 360, and the lunar year is 355 days. And those 6 days could be done after each other, or could be done in one day yes, one day no. It could be done in order that you want. Allahumma janna min alladhin istami'un al-qawl, fayittabi'un ahsan. Inshallah, I'll start receiving questions from the brothers and sisters. Inshallah, if any brother would like to have any question, please ask. Now, Ramadan could be on Tuesday, could be on Wednesday. Most likely on Wednesday, but be aware that could be on Tuesday. If Ramadan is on Tuesday, then Taraweeh is on Monday night. If it's on Wednesday, then Taraweeh is on Tuesday night. And Taraweeh, my brothers and sisters, it's the night for prayer that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. He used to pray the Taraweeh, he used to pray them, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being narrated that he never used to increase more than 11 rak'at in the month of Ramadan or outside the month of Ramadan. Some scholars pray 8 rak'at, other scholars pray 20 rak'at, and it's recommended to read the Quran in it. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed it twice in Jama'ah, and then he refused to come out and pray Taraweeh in Jama'ah. The reason is that he was afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it an obligation on his nation. And then at the time of Bakr, was everyone praying Taraweeh individually. And then at the time of Umar, he saw a lot of people neglecting the Taraweeh prayer. So he gathered them all and prayed the Jama'ah. He made Ubay bin Ka'b to become an imam, and made all the believers stand behind Ubay bin Ka'b to pray behind him Taraweeh. As I said, Taraweeh must be prayed two, by two, by two, by two, as many twos as you want. And then you end it with sunnah. Of course, jama'ah is more recommended. If you want to pray jama'ah on your own, or some people who memorize the Quran love to revise the Quran, taraweeh, there's nothing wrong with it. You mean sat taraweeh at the mosque, you could make it up at your house. There's nothing wrong with it. And of course, you've got all the way till Fajr. And again, my brothers and sisters, my advice, take advantage of this month. Do the best and take out the best of this month. Increase your faith, increase your ibadah, increase your remembrance of to Allah. Read the Quran al-Kareem, your attendance to the mosque, whatever you do haram, stop it and keep that inshallah till the day you die. Time. Are you allowed to brush your teeth while you're fasting? Answered it. Now. Okay, intention is in the heart. It doesn't matter what you say on the tongue. It's in the heart. Some people have a problem getting the intention in the heart accurate. So say it on your tongue so you get yourself right. Okay. It's got to be paid before Salat al-Eid. If one goes to the dentist or goes swimming, do you iftar? Mainly water doesn't go past the throat. If you guarantee that no water is going to go past the throat when you go to the dentist, or you guarantee there's no water going to go past the throat when you swim, then it's around your neck, which you can't guarantee. No. No. Sleep the whole day. Like, inshallah, sleep from 7 to 7. You're still correct. Mafishkal. Of course, it's not like the rewards of someone stayed up and worshipping Allah. But if someone, a lot of people ask, can I sleep the whole day? You can sleep the whole day. And your fasting is accepted. You know what I mean? Your fasting is accepted. But do you get the same rewards as someone else? Of course, no. When a lady has period during Ramadan, how long does she iftar for? So as long as her period goes for. Some women get up to 15 days. And when it gets her period during Salah, how many days does she get iftar? No, of course, it goes back to her natural thing. Well, it depends which sect you come from. No. Okay. If one is pregnant and she needs to get ultrasound in the condition that she must drink a liter of water before the ultrasound, does she have to pay for that day? Because okay, ultrasound, you don't have to get ultrasound. So ultrasound is not an excuse for you to break your fast. You could do ultrasound after the month of Ramadan. No. Yeah. No, no, no. Okay. If someone sleeps during the day, and excuse me for that word, someone saw I would dream, which means he's got to have a shower. Okay. This person does not break his fast. All he's got to do is, have a ghusl. Excuse me for that word. He just used it for the sake of teaching, nothing else. Naam. And then your questions never finish. Ya akhi, the whole idea is water not going past the throat. Wallah, inshallah, you use a fork. Ya akhi, if nothing goes past the throat, nothing goes past the throat. The whole idea is the throat. Whatever happens in your mouth, happens just the throat, throat. You know where you say ah, see where the ha comes from? That's the red line. Is it okay for a female to use contraception pill during Ramadan for the purpose of not getting period during the month of Ramadan? Okay, yani in order to delay the period. Of course, I'm not gonna say it's haram, and a lot of the scholars then say it's haram, but keep things naturally. Naam, ya akhi. Naam. Yeah, just ask them. Doesn't matter. Continue. Whatever you say. Naam. I believe it does. Other scholars don't, but I'm not a scholar, but I'm saying other ulama don't, but I do say it does because something does get past the throat. Fadal akhi. What? No, it doesn't. Alcohol, some perfumes, deodorant has alcohol. Does it break your wudu? It doesn't break your wudu. Some scholars consider it najas. So you should clean it out. Other same. For a lady, can she wear open shoes? Is okay to because a reason. Open shoes if her feet are covered. Okay, the whole thing, the whole idea is her feet must be covered. Naam. That's what I'm saying. Some scholars take this, some scholars say that. Okay, I do say keep on the safe side. Once the adhan is called, stop eating and drinking. Well, I haven't really looked into it, but scholars do speak about it. What is the husband and wives allowed to do with each other when they are fasting? We just said it. Okay. Okay, what is the haram for them to do when the husband has made the intention to do i'tikaf last 10 days? Is she allowed to go home and spend time? Is he allowed to go home and spend time with his wife? Hello, i'tikaf. Yani the longer he stays and the more he stays, the more rewards. If he goes to his wife or goes and visits, he gets less rewards. And if someone made an oath that he's going to stay for 10 days, he must stay for 10 days. I haven't got a question this side, this side, this side. No one this side? Yeah? No. Eid. Eid is only one day. Okay, the Eid al-Adha is one day, then it's got 3 days tashriq, 4 days. Do you get same rewards reading the Quran with a tape? Inshallah, yeah. Inshallah, whatever you put, any effort that you put, Allah will give you rewards according to the effort. Can you brush your teeth during fasting the fifth time? Naam. What's your question? or anything that comes out of the mouth, into the mouth, and gets swallowed, breaks the fast. That's why some scholars give an example. Mind me if I say the example. If someone swallows his saliva, it's okay. But if his saliva comes out, then he swallows that saliva again, breaks his fast. Why? Because it came outside, then inside. Okay? Sometimes you read weird things in the fiqh books. When a person is angry or annoyed, they pray 2 rak'at as their voluntary prayer. Can this prayer be prayed after Asr? Is it valid? No. After Asr, no. You can't pray that prayer after Asr. No. Yeah. Well, break your fast because of football. Big football game, Allah, big, small, inshallah, grand final, you know. You're going to die if you're not going to play that game. Okay, necessity in Islam, what's darura? Darura is when you are in danger. Not Allah, when you're going to lose the cub. Inshallah, lose it, come on. At what time do we stop eating, drinking, Fajr time or Imsak? I just said it, 5 minutes before Fajr. Naam. Naam, akhi. No, money. Some scholars say it, but it's money. If you're going to grab what, a kilo of wheat, who are you going to give it to? Okay, during Ramadan, when would your lessons be? Inshallah, most likely Sundays after Asr, but not confirmed yet. But inshallah, most likely Sundays after Asr. Some food contains alcohol, however, the companions say that the alcohol is evaporated. Does this mean we can eat? Inshallah, I'll make a full lesson about that. Inshallah, soon I'll make a lesson about that. Any other questions, Ikhwani? Huh? Inshallah. Ah, تفضل يا أخي. Yeah, and his fasting is broken. Yeah. Nah, he's got to repeat it. He's got to make it up. Nah. Fard, yeah. Zakat al-Fidr. Fard Ayn. Okay. In your Salah prayer, can you read from the Quran backwards? Oh, okay, example, in the first Surah Tada and Surah Tada, preferably now, it's makruh. Preferably now, you should read the Quran in order. قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلُوا عَدْ بِفَلَقْ قُلُوا عَدْ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ after each other. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, مَنْ قَرَى الْقُرْآنِ مَنْكُوسْ فَهُوَ مَنْكُوسًا فَهُوَ مَنْكُوسْ. Whoever reads it backwards, he's backward. Time. Ask for divorce after Katb Kitab. Your husband refuses to sign the papers. What should be done? If you ask for divorce after Katb Kitab, your husband, get to the Sheikh. Sheikh will solve that problem. Any other questions, inshallah? Huh? No. It's a case that she's got to get to the Sheikh. Okay. Last question. Tayyib, ikhwanim, Allah rewards you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month a blessed month on you and all the Muslims. And may I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our faith. Inshallah, inshallah, next week we'll update you. Come next Monday, we'll update you with the lessons and the program next month, Ramadan. Once again, whoever would like to donate to the land that the brothers had bought is a 2,500 square meter. You could either donate or buy a square meter for $500 or even give a loan. Even a small amount, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you rewards. If you donate a date in the path of Allah, sincerely for Allah's sake, it will be equivalent to the mountain of Uhud in the hereafter. Subhanakallah, Muhammadik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.